This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Noel Lim and Philip C. Let's take a look at markets. Philip, why don't you take us through it?
Yeah, it was a mixed day in the US. The Dow was up 0.2%, S&P down 0.3%, NASDAQ down 0.7%. Then mixed performance also was extended over to Asia. The Nikkei was down 1.2%, Hang Seng was up 0.8%, the Shanghai Composite also in positive territory at 1%, Singapore down 0.4%, but back home in Malaysia, FBM KL CI was up 0.6%. I think you're seeing alternative performance day by day.
Yes, it certainly looks like it. I'm always just happy whenever, you know, it's a mixed day, but nevertheless, the KLCI is in the green. I always feel like we like to buck the trend on the negative front. Okay, well, for more insight this morning and into what's happening in global markets, we are speaking with Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. So prominent investors like Cathie Woods have pared down stakes in Chinese tech firms over regulatory risk concerns. How would you assess the risk return outlook on investments in this sector?
Well, first of all, I think China's, I think everyone would agree that it's way too big to ignore, you know, and especially the China tech sector, given the scale that it has. But I think that what they did in the case here overall, by the way, the regulatory backlash that we got was a surprise, causing a repricing. But what I think the market did was threw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, for example, like Alibaba is still a stock with such great prospects, but now it's priced, it's a growth stock that's priced like a value stock. So I think that is an opportunity. So I think the risk reward there is very low, but it depends on what sector that you're at. But look, they're going to play by China rules, and I think everybody knows what those rules are, and especially foreign listing. But to be honest with you, I'd rather probably own the A shares anyway, as opposed to the VIE or ADRs or variable interest entities that we have here. But, you know, also going back as well, Google acquiesced in that market about 10 years ago to play ball with the Chinese government. So I think it was a hiccup. It's causing a re-rating in some cases. But I think out of this, there's carnage. There's some opportunity.
U.S. IPO proceeds in the second quarter were the highest since the fourth quarter of 1999, which was then followed by a crash. Will it be different this time, or are we heading in the same direction?
You know, it's interesting we're having this conversation, because I remember a few years ago, we were having a conversation how there was the supply. You know, the Wilshire 5000 stocks only has 3,500 stocks in it. So there was a shrinkage of publicly traded stocks. I think a lot of privatization. But I think that we're headed in the same direction, but maybe worse, because we have the meme craze going on alongside of the IPOs. So yeah, they're high tech and people have high expectations, but it does remind me eerily like 1999, and with companies with no earnings, by the way. Didi had no earnings, by the way, when it came out, as an example.
And yet, nevertheless, the tech tsunami seems pretty unstoppable, since they're making up most of the new listings that we're seeing in the US. So, Tim, I mean, are valuations for these new entrants justified compared to established tech names like, say, Zoom?
Well, I could say even looking at Google, which is trading at 30 times forward earnings. That's pretty darn expensive. Zoom, by the way, outrageous. Good company, but outrageous company. So my think is that you're going to have stocks where if you overpay or pay high price and overpay, it's not really, doesn't prove to be a good investment over a period of 5 years or so. I think that might be where you're at now. Now, it could be good for a trade, but as an investment, buying overpriced stocks has never really paid out in the long run.
Well, look at the equity markets broadly. They've been surging alongside global economic recovery. But do you sense, is this still the case, or are markets starting to move more towards hedging downside risks?
You know, they could be, because I think, you know, Ed Yardini, who I think is one of the best of all time, you know, referred to this as peak earnings. And I think you are seeing peak earnings in the market. The interesting with the risks, I know China slowdown, which they're addressing a little bit, but there's a feeling that the bond market in the U.S. is telling us that there's a slowdown coming here. And I got to say, this bond market tells you nothing. gives you no information other than the Federal Reserve owns 20% of all mortgage-backed securities and 27% of the entire Treasury float. So the quantitative easing is distorted prices. So I do think, to answer your question, I think you are seeing a little hedging, but I think you maybe today saw a rotation back into the reflation trade. Maybe, but I think it's overdue, and I think it was overdone, the correction. So I think you're going to see the reflation trade reassert itself.
Now, speaking of the Fed, Tim, Jerome Powell faced another day of grilling at the Senate banking panel, maintaining that inflation is transitory and there's no need to act. But at what point will the Fed have to change its stance?
You know, I think there's a point would be if you get to a dollar where the dollar really starts to weaken to a point they don't want. Then it's out of their control. You know, he did sound to me the first time that, you know, this is, you know, he's watching it. And if this sticks and not transitory, they're going to be in a very, very difficult position. And I think that's what I took from that. Maybe some of the market took that as well. But look, I think what happens here, what the Fed did with this, they're still buying $120 billion worth of securities a month. I mean, that's outrageous. And we're supposed to be on the mend here with the recovery, it just doesn't make sense. So I think they're going to taper fast. They should taper sooner rather than later. And eventually, there's going to be long-term rates will move up, but they better hope the Fed's not forced, their hand's not forced by inflation. But again, that might be for another day, but maybe today's the first day of the reflation trade again.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, giving us his thoughts on what is moving global markets at this point in time. And of course, he touched a bit on kind of the peak earnings that we're starting to see. And out of this earnings season, we are seeing a number of banks so far lead the charge in reporting. Morgan Stanley has posted a second quarter net profit and a second quarter profit in revenue, which exceeded analysts' expectations. And this is on the strength in equities trading as well as investment banking. Revenue came in at $14.8 billion versus the $14 billion that was expected by analysts.
Yeah, earnings per share was also $1.85, 20 cents higher than what analysts projected. Now, as we know, Morgan Stanley, as you were saying, Lynn, has the biggest equities trading franchise in the world, and this carried it to a profit in the second quarter. Now, equities trading outperformed, producing about $22.8 billion in revenue, more than $400 million over what analysts had expected. Now, this made up for the shortfall in fixed income trading, which came in below estimates. The firm also showed robust investment banking results prepared by M&A activity.
Yeah, just looking at Morgan Stanley's massive wealth management business, and this is really much bolstered by the E-Trade acquisition last year, also delivered positive revenue, growth in revenue. So posting about $6.1 billion, edging out of the $5.9 billion estimate. CEO James Gorman says that they'll be doubling the dividends and also carrying out a $12 billion buyback to return excess capital to shareholders.
And we're going to be speaking to Grant Bowers of Franklin Templeton after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin to discuss his outlook for the current earnings season, including what he makes of these banking sector results. So if you're interested in hearing more, do be sure to tune in for that in about 15 minutes. But you know, it's not always just about the earnings, right? Sometimes it's about what the company foresees for the rest of the immediate future. And in the case of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co., or TSMC, they gave a favorable guidance for overall sales in 2021. They're expecting a rise by more than 20% for the year, which is slightly higher than some of the earlier forecasts that we saw.
You know, guys, I think this is one of the most important companies in the world at the moment. It has actually 45% share of the fab foundry globally. And as you know, the current issue this year has been the shortage of semiconductor chips, and TSMC is a critical player in enabling that to work. Now, as you were saying, Lynn, the company will be ramping up production of microcontrollers by close to 60% this year, which will help to greatly boost supplies for its automobile clients starting in its current quarter. And, you know, I think this is actually a key driver, and that's why you're seeing inflation happening, especially with used cars increasing in the US, because they just can't get enough cars coming out from the manufacturing facility, primarily because there aren't enough semiconductor chips. And I think this will help put a bit of buffer to the earlier concerns raised.
Yeah, so executives are also, for the first time, they are confirming that the company the company is weighing plans for a fabrication plant in Japan. And so they currently produce its most advanced chips in Taiwan, though it has a facility in Nanjing in China, and they are building a $12 billion plant in Arizona. And I think this comes from on the back of some funding mm-hmm. from the US government in order to protect its supply.
Yeah, so I think the company also possibly expects a lift from plans by Apple, which is its largest customer. So Apple is looking to ready about 90 million units of upgraded iPhones in the second half of this year. So TSMC will definitely have a hand in that. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.